Mentorship is one of the most impactful connections us humans can make, as proven by Daring Girls, a Denver-based organization that impacts tens of thousands of women across many generations in Africa. You'll love hearing from Executive Director Jessica Love the incredible story of how this organization grew from a simple vision to one that is now changing the face of countries. On this episode of Making Our World Better.
Welcome to the Making Our World Better podcast, where you will find motivation and encouragement through lively conversations with inspirational people who every day are making our world a better place. Now, here's your host, Jay Clark.
Welcome to the podcast. I am Jay Clark, and what a cool opportunity to have a conversation with Jessica Love, Executive Director of Daring Girls, an incredible organization elevating young women in Africa to confidently take design of their own futures, which, as you'll hear, has the ability to transform countries. Jessica has been with Daring for Girls for 4 years, following a stellar career as a communications expert with several different organizations across the world, which ultimately led her to Denver and Daring Girls. A graduate of George Washington University, she worked in Washington, D.C., Dallas, San Jose, Richmond, and Luxembourg, and now in her role with Daring Girls, regularly travels to Africa. Daring Girls and its sister organizations are classic examples of somebody seeing a need, putting it to action and an idea to action, and then it blows up and makes an enormous impact. I can't wait to get into all of it. Jessica, welcome, and thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Jay. I'm really excited to be here to talk to you today.
Awesome. Well, I'd love to start simple and just tell me how you would describe Daring Girls and its mission to somebody who really doesn't know much about you.
Sure. Well, Daring Girls is based in the U.S., but we partner locally with organizations that are locally led and that are based in Africa, working with girls to support mentorship programming that they provide. So what we do is Daring Girls is support these organizations to deliver programs to girls that give them knowledge, tools, mentorship, and support that helps them to really confidently design their own futures. Because really what we're working toward is a world where every girl has the skills, the confidence, and really the savvy to just design the future that she dreams for herself. And not all girls have that opportunity.
I love it. And, you know, I always mention, I seem to always mention in these that as a girl dad, I love nothing more than to hear about organizations that are empowering women. So let's take it back a step quickly and kind of talk about how the organization was really the brainchild of an 11-year-old girl who visited Africa on a safari with her parents.
Yeah, it's an incredible story. So our founder, Ashley Schuler, who's from Colorado, she's still on our board of directors today, which is amazing to still have her involved. But she was 11 years old on safari with her family, and she just noticed so many kids were out of school, and she didn't understand why students weren't in school when they should be. Instead, they were, you know, on streets or playing or doing things that were not being in school. And that really stayed with her, and she learned that, you know, a lot of girls especially just didn't have the ability to go to school because families couldn't afford to send them or support them in doing that. Girls weren't encouraged to go to school because families invested in boys because boys were more likely to grow up to be men that would have jobs and income.
Well, sad.
You know, served more traditional roles in the home. So that really struck her and she wanted to do something. And for years, she begged her parents, I just want to start a nonprofit and work for a girl and help girls in their education in Tanzania. So finally, at the age of 16, her parents said, okay, fine. You've been researching and talking about this for 4 years. They had her write a business plan, you know, as any parent does to their 16-year-old daughter. So she wrote a business plan and she, they eventually said, okay, we're going to support you in creating an organization that she called Africade at the time. We just changed our name last year to Daring Girls. But so Ashley founded Africade at the age of 16, initially supporting the scholarships and school kind of opportunities for girls, classroom needs, teacher training opportunities for about the first 10 years of the organization's history. And then kind of taking a pause and trying to be a little more strategic, there were so many relationships formed on the ground that you know, Atlas started, to learn and see from her colleagues that, you know, really what girls needed and that what could maybe truly move a needle even more is if a girl had a strong woman role model to look up to, who was a leader, who made her own choices about her own life, who was educated and, you know, really made her own decisions. And so that's where Daring Girls started to lean into mentorship, creating mentorship programs for girls in Tanzania that were in secondary school.
I'd love for you to talk a little bit about kind of how the organization is set up. You've got Daring Girls here in the U.S. that does all the fundraising and everything that goes into that, which is, you know, a huge effort. But then when you then talk about how that kind of meshes with these local organizations that are on the ground in Africa.
Sure. So Daring Girls and our kind of flagship sister organization, I don't know, any close name you can think of, our partner in Tanzania is now called GLAMI, which stands for the Girls Livelihood and Mentorship Initiative. We all used to be one organization just back in 2019. In 2020, we separated into two organizations, which is like the coolest success story because really kind of the dream is for organizations to be born and then, you know, run, manage locally completely. And that's what happened between Daring Girls and our partner GLAMI in Tanzania. So really, I like to think of us as sort of the cheerleaders, the fundraisers, communications and marketing support for the incredible work that they're doing, leading and measuring on the ground. And we share stories of their impact with people back here in the U.S. with big hearts who want a way to, in a conduit really, to contribute their generosity to these programs that are so impactful for girls. And so we work very closely together as sister organizations. And then our relationship has kind of blossomed in some new ways lately that I'll love to talk about in a little bit.
I love it. So, you know, one thing we touched on it just a little bit that I'd love to hear more about is, you know, what are some of the challenges and societal issues and restrictions that the girls that you guys are supporting and elevating face that, you know, we probably take for granted here in the U.S.?
Yeah, totally. I mean, just the fact going to school in the U.S., you know, I think there's more gender parity than there is in the places where we work. In Tanzania, only 39% of girls are lucky enough to even go to secondary school.
What?
Yeah, only 3% is actually a little bit less, I believe, are continue on to tertiary education like university. So there's
3%.
3%. Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Exactly. And there's just so many barriers, including especially cultural barriers where girls just aren't invested in the way maybe their brothers are. There's a lot of responsibilities and chores that are put upon girls at home. They have, there are costs still, even though education is free. We all know it never is really free. There are still costs like school uniforms and supplies and things like that. So that gets very expensive. Gender-based violence is an issue that prevents or removes girls from school environments. And also just the long distances. I was visiting one of our partner countries last summer and girls asked me if I could get them a school bus. Because that's just not common in the rural areas where our programs operate. I mean, girls are walking to school up to 6 miles a day each way. And I mean, just the dedication for a young woman or young boy to go that far each way to school, I think is just incredible. But the fact that they have to do that is really a challenge that a lot of girls, you know, really can't meet every single day.
Well, and you touched on this a little bit, too. And I love the name GLAMI, by the way. I think that's awesome. But talk about the power of mentorship and how this has really become a big part of your programming.
Sure. So really, mentorship came about, as I mentioned, because girls just didn't have strong female role models to look up to. The mentoring programs that were developed pair educated, university-educated women with these secondary school girls, but also arms these mentors with a life skills curriculum. So mentors are going into schools every single week, the very same mentor in every school, which is something really unique about our approach. There are a lot of mentorship programs where somebody maybe comes in for a week or a month. And then they go. But these mentors stay with the girl throughout the course of ideally the program, definitely the program year. So it forms these really deep bonds between the mentor and her mentees. But having this life skills curriculum inserted in there as well also gives girls the chance to learn topics that they're probably not learning at home and that they're definitely not learning at school. Things about financial and digital literacy, health topics, and things about their own bodies that are just taboo to talk about at home or in the school environment. And so these programs are giving them tools to navigate challenges that they face in life and strategies to, you know, to focus on their priorities and themselves when there's all these other kinds of things swirling about them. So that's kind of where the mentorship and the life skills curriculum together have proven to be really powerful for girls in our programs.
Well, I love it too, because it sounds like one of the things you're doing is you're also preparing the mentor. So there's going to be kind of a base of what the mentors bring. And that's not going to vary so much based on the individual person, but you've got a program that really prepares the mentors to step in and do that role.
Yeah. And I love that you mentioned that because it's, I like to talk about it as this like beautiful onion, because the mentors themselves are also part of this bigger picture. Yeah. Project where the mentors come in for a set period of time. Usually these mentors are university graduates that have just graduated, and it's very hard to find jobs in Africa in general. It's very hard to find a job as a young woman, especially your first job. So becoming a mentor is a lot of these young women's very first job. It gives them a resume. It gives them also opportunity to interact with other organizations and people that can help them build skills in their own lives and careers. So it's really the mentors are being mentored, the mentors are mentoring the girls, and it's just this incredible cycle of empowering women to become.
That is totally cool. Well, I saw recently that you partnered with, I'm trying to get it right, the Center for Women Empowerment and Technology in Kenya. So, you know, you're expanding beyond just mentorship and opening up all sorts of new doors. Talk about those a little bit.
Sure. So in Tanzania with GLAMI, there are two mentoring programs that are supported for girls in secondary school. One of those is called Binti Shupavu, which in Swahili stands for Courageous Daughters.
I love it. Courageous Daughters.
Yeah.
That's great.
That program is for girls in their first 4 years of secondary school, which would be kind of the equivalent of like middle school, early high school here in the U.S. And this is where girls in Tanzania are most vulnerable and at risk of dropping out or not completing school or advancing their education beyond this level. Sure. And so it reaches girls at a really critical time with, you know, topics around study skills, life habits, health topics, all of these things. So it has been really impactful in Tanzania. And so our GLAMI and Daring Girls decided, wait, we've got this amazing program that has proven results that we've been delivering for years. Why not open it up to more partners in more countries that have a need for this kind of program, but that don't have the time, resources, or money to develop it, test it, implement it themselves? So, so we decided to create a pilot project. And this is where the Center for Women Empowerment and Technology comes in. And so our pilot is piloting the Binti Shupavu Mentoring Program. Our new partner in Kenya was an organization that raised their hand that said, girls in this community need this program. You know, please come here. We'd love to learn it and implement it. So we provide funding to for the Center for Women Empowerment and Technology. We call them SWETECH for short. Funding for SWETECH to implement the programming. We also support in-person training and ongoing virtual technical assistance. So they get training from Daring Girls and GLAMI on the ground in their own environment and offices. And then there's ongoing support and assistance to help them through kind of the different units and chapters, because it's so important that we realize the needs of girls in that local community. And so what we do is teach them what GLAMI has done, but also get the feedback that says, this isn't going to work here. We need to tweak this, we need to use a different kind of example, or we need to focus more on this issue area or that issue area because of challenges that are faced locally. So we're really working with the partner that brings in the local expertise to localize and contextualize the curriculum to suit the needs of girls.
Well, what is so cool about this is this sounds like this is really morphed into, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's almost morphed into a program that picks girls up as they're just leaving elementary school, and you're with them into their first careers. I mean, because you've got the mentors that you're working with and everything. So it's like, it's almost like this whole cradle to graduate program.
Yeah, I mean, it totally is. Our partners, Glammy, have done just this amazing job in growing with the girls. I mean, these programs, the first mentoring program started in 2010. And girls can be part of the alumni network for these programs as long as they want. So it truly is taking girls through different phases of their life and giving them kind of tools, resources, and knowledge that they need at different stages of their life and careers. Now that there are career networking events for graduates of a university even that come back together. So I mean, once you're in for life, as you want to.
So awesome.
As long as you want to be.
All this amazing work that you're doing with these young women in Africa, it still has to be, there still has to be some decent challenges that you're facing, especially as exec director, you know, when it comes to the fundraising part and the operations part of all this. You know, how difficult is this when your programs are so far away and you're trying to fundraise here domestically?
Yeah. I mean, it really is. If you look back when we were all one organization, our budget was mostly large foundations that would give us grants. And those large foundations want to fund locally. So those grants moved to our local partner in Tanzania when we separated. So our challenge, you know, really is building up a donor base of people who really care about girls and women in this way, who want to help elevate and make sure that they're educated and have these opportunities in life. And so our job now as Daring Girls is really getting the word out about this truly impactful programming that has won prizes. In 2022, our partner won the UNESCO Prize for Girls and Women's Education, which is amazing. So there's so it's really just, you know, the challenge is trying to communicate that there's a lot of need out there. But there's also a lot of really generous people out there that are helping to fill that need. But I do think that is kind of the biggest challenge, is just getting the word out about what we're doing and why it's different, why it matters, and why it's important when the girls we support are half a world away. You know, people here are supporting girls they'll never meet, we so appreciate it. But it can be a challenge sometimes to, you know, build the connection.
I'm sure. And I'm sure a large part of that is that by supporting this group, you really are transforming an entire country.
I mean, yeah, the ripple effect of these programs is real. I mean, there's so much research. I think you had a friend of ours, the Friends of Gail, on your podcast last year. And I think you're probably hearing a lot of common themes. I mean, it really is just the ripple effect of when you educate a girl, you impact the whole society, because educated women are more likely to reinvest in their families, their own children's education. And that's really, you know, how we can solve a lot of these issues, is just through education and empowering women, especially, who are more likely to reinvest in their families and communities.
Well, and when it comes to fundraising, I know you've got a big event coming up. Is that correct? And then you've got some other really fun stuff that people can do that are really win-win type things.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you for the opportunity to mention. We do here in Denver, coming up at the end of this month, in April 27th at the Podner Center for International Development, we'll be hosting our annual fundraiser. We're welcoming the co-founder and CEO of the Center for Women Empowerment and Technology.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she's coming. It's going to be an incredible night. She is just the most charming, passionate, dedicated woman. And I'm so excited for our supporters to meet her. I would love to offer your listeners a chance to come. If you head over to daringgirls.org, look for the Daring Gala pop up on our website. And if you enter code BETTER at checkout, you'll get $20 off the cost of a general admission ticket. So we'd love to have folks come join us.
Awesome.
Yeah, we'll also be in April 23rd. We'll be in Washington, D.C. for a free meet and greet event. And there's information on our website about that. Folks can find out, or our social media channels. We're heading to Kenya to visit SweTech later this summer.
Oh.
So if anyone is interested in a really immersive look, we're going to be spending time inside schools in Kenya, interacting with the scholars, with them proposing questions for us and us asking them questions. So it's really a learning exchange that's kind of designed on both ends. So the girls are benefiting just as much as we will be for learning from them. So there's information about that at daringgirls.org as well. And we've got lots of other opportunities to be involved. We're looking always for people who want to give back through their professional networks or their professional skills to be a mentor to young women who have graduated university, who have questions about their career paths, that, you know, have a lot of those questions aligned with expertise of people anywhere in the world where they can just give a little advice. So you can find out how to be a mentor at daringgirls.org as well. Lots of ways to join us.
This is kind of a tough question, but I always like to ask, is there a favorite success story that you could share?
Man, I have like several.
I'm going to give you a favorite one and then a little bit less.
So the first one I love is a story about a girl named Mawa who is in the Binti Shupavu program in Tanzania through GLAMI. And she was really prepared. She just really enjoyed being in the program. She was ready for her final exams. And these exams determine whether a girl can continue her education onward. And so she was ready. She showed up. She took the test. She got the results and she did not pass. Oh. So her education in the traditional system was effectively ended. But because she had gone through Binti Shupavu, she knew that she had choices and she could make decisions about her own life. And so she stepped back and she assessed what was needed in her community and what skills she had and what her interests were. And so she decided that she would start a motorcycle parts shop.
Wow.
Yeah, not a common career path for a young woman in Tanzania, but Mawa did it and she's been very successful. She supports herself, she supports her family, and she's saving for her future. And it's because she was prepared. So if something doesn't go the right way, she had a backup plan. And I love that story because not every girl in these programs is going to pass and continue their education formally, but you can still, the benefits are just so tremendous.
She was totally empowered thanks to the program. If without those programs, she would have never known anything like that was possible.
Well, I just love her story for that. And the other one I'll share is about a young woman named Malefu Shilingi. And she was in the one of the mentoring programs for kind of older girls at their final end of their education before they go on to university. And she went on to university and wanted to think of a way to supplement her income to help pay her university fees and things. And COVID hit while she was in university. And she's like, I need to find a way to fill my time. And how can I, you know, make some money toward my university? So she loved art. She was a very talented artist. She was studying art in university. And she went to a local restaurant owner in Dar es Salaam. And she asked if she could just set up an art station there and just draw pictures and kind of interact with customers at the restaurant. The restaurant owner let her do that. And it took off. Her art is amazing. The customers loved seeing her artwork. She started selling it left and right. She has been featured in Tanzanian media, German media. We've featured her several times, and she's just really blossomed. And now she's doing classes for young girls to show them that you can follow your passions and your dreams and you can make an income out of it, because art is also not an encouraged career path for young women in Tanzania. And so I love that she's breaking that ceiling for girls. And the coolest part of her story is that late last year, I was on Instagram and I noticed that she'd posted a picture of the president of Tanzania accepting a portrait of herself with a religious from this religious leader. And it was a drawing that Malefu had been commissioned to do. So Malefu has followed her dream so far that she has a piece of artwork now hanging somewhere in the palace in Tanzania, the president's office.
Oh, my gosh. Think of that. And you know, I love those two stories. And then you can multiply those by 17,000. Is that what I saw? How many?
You know, it's actually even more. I think I was just looking at our website and realized I need to update it. I think with the total of girls that graduated last year, we're actually a little closer to 20,000 now. Mentoring programs launched in 2010. And it's just incredible. It's about $100 per girl per year on average for these programs. So you think of the lifelong impact you can create for just such
$100. Jeez.
Yeah.
So tell me, what is a big audacious goal that you have? And what do you think it would take to make it happen for Daring Girls?
Gosh, you know, well, we're working on the big, hairy, audacious goal we're working on now is with this pilot. I mean, we would love to keep working with our partner, Glammy, to take what we've built together, to give it to more organizations that are truly in need of it. And so this pilot, we hope, is just the beginning. And we hope by the end of it to prove that it truly can be localized and contextualized in other countries and cultures to serve more girls in more places. And that this framework is a framework that truly is transferable and delivers similar impact. So that's what we're aiming for at Daring Girls, and so grateful for our partners at Glammy to work with us on this as they work to go and grow deeper in Tanzania and reach more girls inside Tanzania.
Daring Girls worldwide. I'm all for it. I'd love it. Well, I'd love to shift gears here as we wind down a little bit. And one of the things I always love to ask everybody is, what's something you will read, listen to, or watch today?
I just got a book in the mail. I actually have it right here. It's called If You Can't Take the Heat, Tales of Food, Feminism, and Fury. It's by a woman named Geraldine DeRuiter. And if you like food, and she's so funny, she's got another book that I think people were scared of me on an airplane once. I was reading it laughing so hard I was crying. So I just, this just came out. So I'm looking forward to reading it. And I reached out and she very generously donated a copy of her book to our silent auction at our upcoming.
Oh, awesome.
I'm really looking forward to reading that and diving into that. So that's what I'll read today.
Fantastic. So if you think about who has been a role model for you, especially in the work you're doing with Daring Girls.
Sure. You know, before coming to Daring Girls, I worked for an organization called Fistula Foundation. And there's a woman named Kate Grant that runs that organization. And I feel that so many of the conversations that I, you know, hear now about international development and the importance of local decision making, these are things she was talking about 10, 15 years ago. So I'm really grateful to have had her as a role model in how to work with local partnerships and to make sure that we're supporting in a way that keeps the decision making local. And then I'd say also, since joining this job, I've really gotten to know Tammy Tibbetts and Kristen Brandt from She's the First. They're an organization that focuses on putting girls through or getting girls to be kind of their first generation to go on to college. And so I just love what they have built in encouraging girls' education and in the way that they their language that they use is so empowering. And I just think that they've done a lot of great work in this space, and they've been more recent role models for me in this position.
Sounds like somebody I need to have on the podcast.
Yeah, the introduction.
Yeah. If, you know, taking that a step further, is there an organization out there outside of Daring Girls and Glammy that you really admire the work they're doing or want to give a shout out to?
Gosh, I mean, I love, of course, She's the First. One of our other partners that we work with that I'd love to give a shout out to is called Amplify Girls. They're doing a lot of work around girls' agency, which we kind of collectively define as a girl's ability to, you know, make her own informed decisions about her own life. And so we and Glammy have been working with them. We're actually doing a random control test right now in one of the regions where Glammy works, looking at the impact of agency through the Binti Shupavu program and how that impacts academics and academic retention. And so I just love what Amplify Girls is doing, because they're doing research that informs policy and also working with local organizations to make that all happen and kind of fostering these networks where people are working together in community around similar topics. So awesome. I'd love to give them a shout out.
An impact on a bunch of different levels. I love it. So we went over it a little bit, but lastly, and most importantly, if people want to find Daring Girls, if they want to consider being a mentor, go to your event, support you, learn more, what's the best way?
Awesome. Head to daringgirls.org and click around. You'll see the information about our Denver fundraiser pop up right away. But if you scroll to the bottom of the page, I really hope you'll follow our social media channels. We're on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook. So we're out there everywhere, and we love to talk about the girls that we're supporting. And we've got a lot of great stories to share, and we'd love to keep sharing them.
Fantastic. Well, good luck on the event. Keep up the great work. This has been wonderfully inspiring. And I hope you guys just keep it going.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jay, for this opportunity and for having so many great organizations on your show. It's a great place to learn about excellent organizations. So we're honored to be among them.
Thanks for listening. And thanks to Jessica for sharing the work of Daring Girls. This podcast has been brought to you by JC Charity Services. I'd love to help you find more joy in your work and help you and your team thrive. You can find me at makingourworldbetter.com. To learn more about Daring Girls and how you can support their efforts by attending their gala or becoming a mentor, visit daringgirls.org and follow them on social media. Use the code BETTER for a discount on tickets to their upcoming gala. Check the show notes for links, and if you enjoyed this podcast, we'd be grateful if you'd share it with a friend. Until next time, I hope you're inspired to find a way to make our world better.